John chapter number 5. Starting at verse number 1, read a few scriptures here. It said, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease that they had. Verse 5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there now a long time, he said, will you be made whole? Verse 7, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steps down in front of me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. I'm going to just talk to you for a few moments today on this subject. Would you like to get well? Would you like to get well? Would you just lift your hands one more time and let's ask God to meet us here in the next few moments. Lord, this is your word. This is your scripture. This is God breathed. It's already anointed, Lord. I pray for me today that my thoughts would be full of clarity, that my words would be hidden behind your words today, God, that you could speak to somebody's heart and mind and life that needs to hear from you today. I pray that you would have an impact on us this morning, that we can leave different than when we walked in. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. 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 You may be seated this morning. Would you like to get well? In Hebrew, this porch or this pool was called Bethesda. It means house of mercy, or in another translation, it means the place where two outpourings. It was fed by two waters from adjacent pools there in Jerusalem. And at this time in history, Bethesda had become somewhat of a healing shrine. And there's some theological debate on whether, you know, there was an actual angel that would come and trouble the waters, or if this was just something that they believed and they would stay around. Those that were sick obviously had a belief in it. They would lay on these porches and they would wait for the troubling of the waters. Some say it was a natural spring, or it would begin to move, and maybe there was therapeutic parts of the water that would help. That's not really my point today on whether or not there was a healing in the water, but they believed that there was. They believed that there was. They would flock to these type of places, and we sometimes criticize those that type of primitive belief, but there are many today that still do these type of pilgrimages and the fountain of youth. And if we can get to this stone that was touched by this person, if we can get to this landmark that was passed by somebody else, it would have some sort of impact on our lives. And this is what's going on in Scripture. This man had been there for a long time. The Bible says 38 years he dealt with this issue. And Scripture doesn't tell us exactly what the issue was, but we do know that he wasn't able to walk. He wasn't able to do anything on his own, so it was crippled in some way is what was going on in his life. And he was of the belief that if he could just get in the water first when it was troubled, that he would be healed. That's where Jesus steps into this situation. And those lying around this pool in this portion of Scripture represent humanity for us today. It represents humanity. People absolutely helpless with crippling addictions and blinding ambitions and paralyzing conditions in their lives that are not able to fix this on their own. And though we try to be self-sufficient, everyone in this room tries to be self-sufficient. We like to be able to stand on our own 2 feet and figure things out on our own. There are times, though, that we are powerless in our situation. There's nothing we can do to change it. There's not extra overtime to work to pay the bills. There's not extra things I can do to manufacture a healing of some sort. We're powerless. And because of that, we struggle with those things in our lives. That's why we, overindulge in self-help books, looking for things that if I could just follow this simple 7-step process, I could figure this out on my own. I'm not against those sort of things. I think there are some things to be said for being able to analyze my feelings and deal with some things that are going on and creating good habits. That's all good. But the reality is there are some things in our lives that cannot be fixed just because we want them to be fixed. There are some things that we deal with, situations we come in contact with, that just because we want them to be fixed doesn't mean that they will be. Some things require a touch from the Lord. Some things require His Spirit to move in the situation for it to be handled. And we don't know what to do sometimes in those situations. But the problem here with Bethesda, both in the physical and now in our situation in the spiritual, is that Bethesda seemed to work for some, but not for most. Some people claimed healing at Bethesda, but most of the time, everybody you would talk to were ones who were beside the pool and never could get into the pool. The first person into the water was cured, so to speak. That's the way it seems to work in our lives. The first person always seems to get what's needed, but maybe nobody else in line. That's why there's this constant push to be first in everything. I want to be first in my job. I want to be first in all of these things so I can get what's coming to me, because if you're in the back of the line, you're not going to receive it. You're not going to get what you need. So that's the atmosphere that Jesus finds himself walking into, that pool of Bethesda. Those people laying there, there wasn't a healed person. There wasn't a fixed person there. They were all dealing with sickness. None of them had ever received healing at the pool. They were the ones who couldn't get there fast enough or didn't know about it soon enough. And so they're just still dealing with what's going on in their lives. And Jesus steps in, and it seems that he heads to the most senior person of that fraternity. This gentleman who had been there, the Bible says, 38 years dealing with this situation. And Jesus has a way of just kind of cutting to the old timers used to say, the brass tacks. Just gets down to the bottom, the issue. He doesn't talk to him about anything frivolous. He doesn't ask him how he's feeling. He doesn't ask him anything out of the ordinary. He just goes right to the issue and he says, would you like to get well? You would think that that would be an easy question to answer for somebody who's been sick for 38 years. You know, if you've been in debt for 40 years and you can't seem to get out from under it, and somebody knocks on your door and says, hey, would you like to be debt free? I think most of us would scream, yes. I got some witness in the house for a moment. That's what Jesus does. Hey, you've been dealing with this for a while. Would you like to get well? The answer seems so obvious. And yet, consider this. The man had not asked Jesus for help. We don't find that recorded in Scripture. We don't see his asking Jesus for anything. The beggar in that day, in that culture, in that society, could lose sometimes some profitable things and easy income if they were cured. If all of a sudden they were cured of what ailed them in their disease and they were able to walk, they would obviously then be able to work. And so some of them weren't really in it for the healing. They were in it for what they could get out of it. He would have to lose the victim mentality, and that's not always something that's easy to do when you've lived with a victim mentality your whole life. We like to say, Lord, heal me, help me, fix me, make me whole, but the reality is if God would answer all of those prayers today, it would have to change some of the way we act. It would change some of the things that how we interact with others. It would change how we treat others because we've lived in this victim mentality most of our lives. You look through that window of everything that comes through, that window of being a victim. So maybe he doesn't want to be healed. Maybe it's a pretense. Maybe he's okay with not getting in the water first because he's got to find a cushy place to lay every day. Perhaps. You would think after 38 years, though, it would be a knee-jerk reaction. Yeah, I want to get well. After 38 years of waiting on somebody else to pick him up out of bed and carrying him to a corner somewhere to beg or carry him to the pool of Bethesda to wait on healing, after 38 years of not being able to walk down the street with his family, after 38 years of dealing with this issue, there would be an absolutely response of positivity. Yes, I want to get well. Yes, I want what you have for me. Yes, I want you to fix what's going on in my life. But if you look at Scripture, that's not what we see here. 38 years he's dealt with this. Jesus walks in with one question, would you like to get well? And this is his response. His answer is an excuse of why he's not well. He said, I don't have anybody to put me in the pool. I don't have anybody to take me down when the water is troubled. I don't have anybody to get there for me. I don't have anybody to help me. Jesus didn't ask him that. He didn't ask why he was still sitting there. He didn't ask why he hadn't been healed. He asked, would you like to be? And his first response was the pool, because his only hope was in the pool. That's his only hope. That's the only thing he looked for a possibility of hope, was a body of water that hopefully somebody would stir and he would get there first. That was his only hope. For 38 years, he could say, I've been the victim of carelessness, indifference, and inefficiency of my family to help me get in that pool. Maybe even my church hasn't helped me get into that pool. My church has all these special meetings where the waters are troubled, but it seems like everybody else gets the help, and I'm left leaving the same way I walked in. I'm left sitting here while everybody else gets what they need. That's the victim mentality. I didn't get what, God didn't heal me. God didn't answer my prayer. God didn't take care of it the way, but look what they got and look what they ended up with. And I'm leaving the same way. It's the victim mentality. Nobody is here to help me. Jesus knows that his main focus is the problem. He's focused on the pool. So he bypasses this man's excuse and he offers him a solution. Can you imagine this man intently staring at the waters of Bethesda while Jesus Christ, God manifest in flesh, is standing in front of him, asking him if he wants to get well? And he kind of does this. Yeah. Well, nobody will help me get in the pool, but could you just kind of move over a little bit? I've got to watch the pool. Because as I'm talking to you, if somebody comes in and troubles the water like they say, then I've got to get, could you just scoot over a little bit? Because the pool is my answer. It's been great talking to you. Yeah, I've heard a little bit about you, but I can't focus on you. I got to focus on the pool. You're in my way. And that would seem weird to us. But how many times do we do the same when God steps into our situation and says, would you like to be made well? Well, you know, but I've got to have that job, and I'm waiting for that opportunity to show up in my email box, and that person's working an end around for me with the boss, and I've got to pay attention to that. Lord, thank you for stopping by. Thank you for I know I've heard about you. I know you can do, but could you just kind of stay out of the way just a little bit? I'm working on something. I've got something already in the works that for 38 years it hasn't worked, and he's trying to push Jesus out of the way. How long have we been trying to push him out of our lives? Well, I've got it figured out. I'm just not working right now, but maybe next week or the following, this is going to work out. I've got a plan in place. So don't mess with my plan, Jesus. He comes in knocking on our door saying, hey, would you like to get well? Well, I do. That's why I'm here. Why are you? Yes, I'm like, I'm at Bethesda. Would you get out of the way? I'm waiting for the pool. How many times do we miss what God has for us because we're so stuck on what others think we need to have? We miss what God is trying to do for us in the moment because everybody else is saying, no, you got to do it this way. You got to do it that way. You got to figure it out the way I figured it out. And Jesus is saying, there's a lot of people here. You're telling me only one gets healed, and we don't even know when the water's getting troubled. I could heal you right now. I'm right in front of you. Yeah, but just kind of get out of the way. He's focused on the wrong thing. So focused on what we think is the problem that we don't listen to the one who has the answers. So focused on what we think is the issue that we can't see the problem solver standing right in front of us. The issue is never the pool. I'm not here to debate theologically whether they were really getting healed there or not. That's not the point. The point is he didn't have to wait for the moving of the water when the healer was right there in front of him. He didn't have to wait for an angel to show up and for him to race somebody to the pool when the one who spoke our lives into existence was standing right in front of him. The one who took a little bit of dust from the ground and put a little air in the body and became a living soul, he's standing right in front of him. You don't have to wait for the pool. I've come to tell somebody today, would you like to get well? It may not fit what you think you need, but the one who has everything you need is right in front of you today saying, I've got it. I've got what you need. I've got healing. I've got provision. I've got answers for you. And even if it doesn't line up with the way you think it should, you can leave here different today if you want to get well. If you want to leave that pool alone, if I were him, I'd want to get as far away from that pool as possible. It seemed like a pretty faithless area, in all honesty. I'd want to get out of that pool of Bethesda. No, He was focused on that pool. Some of you think your healing is going to come in a certain way, and that's the only way you're accepting it. Well, I'm waiting for that lightning bolt to hit me on the head when Pastor prays for me, and that's how I'm going to get healed. And the reality is, you don't have to wait for anybody to pray for you to begin with. You can have a conversation with Jesus on your own and say, I need you to touch my body today. And maybe it doesn't happen all at once. It does in this portion of Scripture, but there may be things that God allows you to go through that He begins to, when you look back a week from now, you can see a difference from what God did for you. You look back a month from now, but that's not how I think it's going to happen. How about we trust Him? How about we say, oh, you know the end from the beginning, so I think I'll let your perspective win out in this one. I think I'll let your vision win out in this position. I don't want to have to be the one in charge. It relinquishes control on our part. Do you want to get well? Do you want to be well today? There's no attempt here in Jesus' part to judge the man's worthiness. Doesn't even have a conversation about how he's lived up to that point. He doesn't ask him if he's been living right. He doesn't ask him if he's done all the right things. He doesn't ask him about any of that. He doesn't ask him about his faith level. Sometimes Jesus does, and this he doesn't ask him. He said, would you like to get well? That's the only question that Jesus was interested. Are you willing? Yeah, but my condition is not my fault. That's not what I ask you. We get hung up on this so many times. Well, I want the right person to be blamed. I want the right person. I want to be vindicated of all this. And Jesus is simply saying, do you want to be well? Well, it's not my fault I'm sick. But do you want to be well? Well, it's not my fault that I got dropped. It's not my fault that I got wounded. Okay, but do you want to get well? How many of us would go to a doctor and they look at us and say, hey, I've got a shot that's going to cure what you've got going on, and we want to talk to him about everything that we've tried already. He doesn't care. He says, this is the answer. Do you want it or do you not want it? Jesus is asking us, do you want to be well? And we want to focus on the problem. We want to focus on who's at fault. Well, that's not my fault. I didn't do it. My condition's not my situation. Are you willing? But you don't know how long I've been this way. But do you want to be well? He doesn't need the backstory. He doesn't need the volumes that we've written before about who's at fault and why it's happened. He just wants to know, do you want to be well? Are you willing? But you don't know what I'm hiding. He didn't ask him what he was hiding. You don't know I've not been faithful to church. He didn't ask him that. You don't know I've not been given my tithes. He didn't ask him that. You don't know that I've got some sin I'm working through in my life. He didn't ask him that. He just said, do you want to be well? Because the reality is when Jesus shows up, he can take care of all of that at one time. He can take care of every issue at one time. And moving forward, you can do better than you've ever done before. But you got to say, I want to get well. I want to be healed. I want to be delivered. I don't want to deal with this hatred in my life. I'm tired of dealing with hurt and pain and frustration. I'm tired of dealing with bitterness because everything you're dealing with runs into everything else. That pool of bitterness that you've been dealing with in your life is running into every aspect of your life. Do you want to be well? Do you want to be healed today? That's what Jesus is asking him. It's very similar to the choice that Moses gave the people that he had led for 40 years when he was getting ready to die. Deuteronomy chapter number 30 and verse 19. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I've set before you life and death. I've set before you blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that thou and thy seed may live. It's like getting the answers to the test before you ever sit down to take it. He said, I'm going to put two choices in front of you. There's life and there's death. There's blessing and there's cursing. But here's the secret. Choose life. I know you're dealing with hurt. I know you're dealing with bitterness and frustration. I know you're dealing with wounds. And so I'm going to set before you healing or everything that you've already dealt with the last 10 years. But here's the secret. Choose life. And we sit back and say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to choose. Choose life. I don't know how to get rid of this situation. We know because you haven't got rid of it yet. Choose life. I don't know how to fix my problem. Neither do I. Choose life. Jesus knows how to fix your issues. Jesus knows how to fix your situation. Choose life. But we get so wound up in what we're dealing with that we can't let it go. I've been sick it's been 38 years. You know I've been sitting in this spot for 38 years and never have I one time got to the pool in time. Can I tell you about all the times I've tried and it didn't work? Jesus isn't interested in any of that. Can I tell you about the times I did my best and then everybody else was wrong to me, and they hurt, they talked about me, and they weren't nice to me, and they gossiped about me, and I'm trying to do it, and they won't let. That's not what he's asking today. Do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? That's what, choose life today. That's the choice that the man has sitting there at the pool of Bethesda. Moses knew, like we do, that many, if not most, of our circumstances in life are chosen circumstances. I know there are things that we can't control, but the reality is we make unhealthy, unrewarding choices, and then we like to blame others for our situation. Do people hurt us? Yeah. Is there fault on the other side of the line? Probably. There's things that we deal with that aren't our fault, but we all have a choice on how we respond to those situations. So we can either consider ourselves the victim of the insensitivity of others, or we can just square our shoulders and say, I'm going to make the better choices. I'm going to choose life. I'm not going to even hold this to their charge. Stephen, as he's being stoned, said, Lord, don't put this on them. They don't even know better. Jesus, as he's given up his life on the cross, don't hold them responsible for this. They don't know better. When's the last time you prayed that prayer? Forgive them, God. I know that they're messing me up. I know that we've had issues, God. I know that I've tried to do what's right, but God, don't even put this on their charge. God, I just pray that you bless them. I pray, God, that you would strengthen. I pray, Lord, that you would use them. When's the last time you prayed that prayer? Those that despitefully use you. When's the last time you blessed them? Pastor, don't be doing that stuff. It's Bible. We want to profess and proclaim everything we like in here, but the stuff we don't, we want to flip the page real fast. But Jesus said, blessed is the one who can pray for those who are despitefully using you. Do you want to get well? How many times have I told you this? I have to revisit this myself. Holding on to grudges, holding on to hurts and wounds and bitterness. You're going to know it as soon as I say it. It's like drinking poison and expecting that person to die. You're the one that's affected, not them. Do you want to get well? The unspoken message here today in Jesus' question is that we sometimes do have to pay a price to be well. There are benefits to having an illness and an excuse. Nobody was asking him why he wasn't running the marathon because they knew that he was crippled. It's an excuse. It's a reason. There's benefits to having an issue in our lives. The man at the pool didn't have to work and someone carried him around every day. There were probably other perks involved. I'm sure people, you know, Jesus in that day, that they taught you had to give alms to the poor, and so he was provided for in some way. But none of those things compared to being well. Nobody asked him. Nobody came by at 8 o'clock in the morning and said, hey, why aren't you at work providing for your family? Because they knew he couldn't walk. But as soon as you're made well, maybe that question does come up and we don't want to. Why aren't you doing what you're supposed to be doing? You're well now. We don't like that sometimes, so we stay sick. Do you want to be well? It's a question we've got to consider. We think the answer should be yes, and it should. But many of us have to mull that over in our minds because we think about things that have to change if I get well. It changes my schedule. It changes my priorities. It changes what I care about. It changes what I accomplish on a daily basis. It changes my family. It changes me if I get well. And do I want to get well? This is the only discourse here between Jesus and this man. Carl Rogers, who was a psychologist, said that he considers only one kind of counselee relatively hopeless. You can help me with the music. It's the person who blames other people for his or her problems. He claims that if you can take ownership of the mess that you're in, there's hope for you and there's help available. Another psychologist wrote a book called Learned Optimism. And in this, the psychologist says that we all have in our hearts a yes or a no. We respond to life either negatively or positively. And his thesis is that we can learn to put a yes in our hearts and by doing so, change the course of our lives. And this is what Jesus was asking. Do you want to be well? Do you want your marriage to work? Nobody can answer this question but you. Do you want to be well? Do you want your marriage to work? Do you want to get over that bitterness? Or is it that candy stick you like to hold on to and it gives you something to talk about? Do you want to walk away from the sin that holds you captive that you can't get away from? Do you want to give that up? Or secretly you don't want to because you enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? It doesn't matter what you have need of today. Jesus is here. Do you want to be well? I feel the presence of the Lord here. There's some people here that have dealt with some things in your life for a long time. It's affected you. It's affected those around you. It's impacted your future. Certainly impacted your past. And when we get in those type of situations, we want to make it complicated because it kind of serves to solidify our argument about how terrible it was. And we want to tell how it happened and why it happened and how it did this and that. And we want to, this is what I'm dealing with and this is the problem. But Jesus is here today with a very uncomplicated question that requires a very easy answer. Would you like to be well? I don't know what you're dealing with today. I don't know what you're struggling with today. I don't know what has you sitting by the pool of Bethesda today. I'm not coming to the pulpit today to tell you that God gave me a word of knowledge and I can pinpoint it today. I just know what I feel in my spirit. Would you stand with me this morning? I know today we could simply close this service out. We did our part. We came to church. We checked the box. Nobody would think a thing about it. But I'm asking you today, I've got a responsibility that God laid on my heart that I can't get away from today. I'm asking you, do you want to be well? Do you want the peace that you haven't had for a long time? Do you want to step into your house and not feel the chaos in the spirit that you've been feeling? Do you want to be well? Because if you do, Jesus is here today. And here's the thing. The only thing he said to him was take up your bed and walk. Something he could not do on his own. Powerless to do it. If he could have done that on his own, he could have done it 38 years before. But because he responded to the voice of God, he was able to do something that he hadn't been able to do in 38 years. Why is that? Because when you step out in faith to the voice of God speaking in your life, he gives you the power and the ability to move past and to do what you've not been able to do before. It's nothing to do with me. It's nothing to do with this building or this altar space. It has everything to do with the power of obedience and faith. So I'm asking you today, as they begin to sing, do you want to be well? Might be physically in your body. If you need healing, we'll pray for you this morning. Maybe it's something that you've harbored in your spirit for a long time. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's frustration and bitterness. But if you want to be well today, there's no reason why you can't pick up your bed and walk out of here today different than when you walked in. But the only thing that it relies on is you saying yes and getting up and getting out of your bed. So as they begin to sing, it's a very simple question, simple response today. Nobody's going to know your business. Nobody's asking you to write down a story today. Just say, God, I want to be well. I'm going to walk up here today and say, Lord, you know exactly what I'm in need of. And so I'm asking you to heal me today, whether it's in my spirit or it's in my body. I want to be well. I want to be whole today. I want to be complete today. I want to move past this today. Only you can start that process. He's already asked you, do you want to be well? Now you got to take the step of faith. Would you come today? Come on, would you just lift your hands all over this place and begin to pray and create an atmosphere that somebody would feel comfortable responding in the presence of the Lord? Come on, as they begin to sing, would you find a place to pray? Come on, the presence of the Lord is in this house right now. Do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? I've got what you need here today. I've got everything you need. I've got everything that you need. Come on, somebody reach out to him and say, yeah, Lord, give me your hand. Help me up out of this bed. I want to get up today. I want to move. I want to go past this pool of Bethesda. I want to get past what I've been dealing with. That's it. Somebody reach into the throne of God right now. Take his hand. Come on, he's speaking to your hearts today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We just lift our hands all over this room right now and surrender to him. Come on, God's done a work here today and is continuing to do something. Do you want to be well? Yeah, God, I want to be well. I want to be well. I want to be whole. I want to be complete again. I want to be able to walk into my home in peace. I want to be able to lay my head down in peace. I want to be well today, God. There's a response in the spirit here today. There's a response here today by the body of Christ. God's moving in some situations right now. One, we may never know about it, but you know about it right now. You know what you brought with you to the altar today. You know exactly what I was preaching about when, as soon as I started speaking, you know. And God's here saying, I've got this. Don't come back. Now listen, the guy that got up out of his bed and walked away, he had a choice the next morning on what to do and where to go. Because for 38 years, he got up and went to the pool of Bethesda and sat. But when God heals you of something, you don't go back to where he brought you from. You don't go back to sit in the bitterness that you had sat in. You don't go back to dealing with the same feelings that you did before. When God steps in and says, hey, I'm going to bring you out of that. The next morning you wake up, don't go back down to Bethesda. Go a different direction. And I'm challenging somebody here today. Maybe you've even been to this point before where God's pulled you out of some things. But the struggle was the next day when you woke up, out of habit or uncertainty of your future, you went back down that same road to where you've always gone. Don't go down that road tomorrow. Let God lead you to something new tomorrow. Let him lead you to something new this week, because God's moving in lives right now. God's putting things back together that have been broke for some time. I believe he's doing a work here this morning. Amen.